Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We have so many of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Sarah, listening in Nashville, Tennessee, Bot Radio. Hi, Sarah.
Can you hear me?
I sure can. How are you?
Okay, good. Good. I have a question about entire sanctification. I'm looking into it, and while I don't believe that that is valid, I can't find any black and white scripture that disproved that theory. And so I was just wondering if you could kind of elaborate.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, to be perfect in a biblical sense means that you mirror the very image of Jesus Christ himself. And that's something that will take place in heaven, but certainly it will not take place in this time-space continuum. We know that all are sinners. Even the great apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, considered himself a sinner. And he said, who can save me from this body of death? And recognized that his redemption is in Jesus Christ, so positionally accounted righteous before God, but practically a sinner. So throughout the Bible, we are commanded to confess our sins and know that he is faithful and just. He will forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, yeah, we, as long as we're in the body, are those who will continue to sin in thought, word, and deed. No one will be perfect until the time that Jesus appears a second time. And at that time, the problem of sin and Satan will forever be resolved.
So then why is there a denomination that believes and preaches that this is possible?
Well, I think because they're very, very significantly misreading the biblical text, taking texts out of context. Because what is very clear in Scripture are passages like 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, John says we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So I don't know how you get any clearer than an apostle in the inner circle of Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to say, if you say you have no sin, you're simply fooling yourself.
Perfect. And that was 1 John 1:8.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate your clarification.
You got it, Sarah. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Kika, listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, WHVN. Hi, Kika.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you. I thank God for you. You've really been able to answer questions that I've been struggling with. So your broadcast is really a godsend. So my question is, if we are made in God's image, a way that I have reconciled it in my head and actually talked to someone about it, I'll admit that this is something that I came up with on my own, is that just as God is spirit and Christ is body and God is, you know, the ultimate mind, that we are made mind, body, and spirit in His image as well. Is that erroneous in my thought? I struggled with understanding the Trinity, but it made sense to me when I thought of us as a Trinity in His image in that way.
Well, here's the thing, Kika. I have been trying to find an analogy for the Trinity for many, many years, and probably 20 or 25 years ago, I gave up. I remember making just these really elaborate diagrams. I have one in the front of one of my Bibles. And I thought after many, many years of looking at all kinds of analogies, I'd finally found the perfect one. And it was the universe, because universe means turning into one, and the universe is time, space, and matter. Yeah, and each one of them is a trinity of sorts. And so I thought, oh, I've got it. And I started working on this diagram, and I had it all, I mean, just beautifully illustrated in the front of my Bible. And I thought, this is what I'm going to use to explain to people the perfect analogy for the Trinity. Well, upon further examination, loose ends were popping out all over the place. And I can tell you, after many years of ministry, I finally come to the right conclusion, which is that there is no illustration that suffices for the triune God. And so instead of being philosophically driven, I simply bow my knee before God's revelation of Himself to me. It's something that I can apprehend because the Scripture is clear about it, but it isn't anything that I can comprehend. So I simply realize that God is one what and three whos, which is to say He is one God by virtue of His essence, and He's three by virtue of His persons. And persons has to do with subject-object distinctions within the Godhead.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Have a good one, Hank.
You too. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mark. He's listening in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Mark.
Hello. How are you, Hank?
I'm well. Thank you.
Well, I have kind of two questions, but they're interrelated.
Mm-hmm.
The first is that I recently found Christ, and it was back in April, but one son has followed me, but my wife and other son have not. So I wanted to know about witnessing. And then the other is that my wife is opposed to sharing funds with the church or with, tithes or offerings of other sorts. Just wanted to see what you thought on that.
Well, the first thing I would say is prayer. Prayer is firing the winning shot. Oftentimes, it's very, very difficult for you to be the very person who is going to make the difference in your family. God will send someone else along. There's so much emotion. There's so much packed into family relationships that it's oftentimes hard to witness to our family members by our lips. So what I would recommend is prayer, and then testifying to them by your changed life and by the love, the true biblical sense of love, a deep and abiding commitment. So it's not just a transient feeling, it's a commitment. And that kind of love, that kind of testimony of life oftentimes will reach far deeper than anything you can say. It will perhaps even open up the opportunity to communicate verbally a testimony of your faith as well. But let your light so shine before your family that they may see your good deeds and praise the Lord. Praise the God that is in you. Praise the majestic one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. As far as giving is concerned, it's important that you do what is right in your own conscience before God. And don't let this be a stumbling block to your family. God doesn't need your money. God needs your life so that you hold everything you have with an open hand. He can take out and put in as He sees fit. He sees a heart that is willing to take your treasure, time, and talent and use it for His glory, and that is sufficient. If God gives you the opportunity to do this without dividing your family, wonderful. But if it becomes divisive, I think what's most important in God's economy is your willing heart and the testimony of your life so that your family might be transformed.
Thank you. That is very comforting. And as a side note, I had been an atheist for a very long time and actually flipped on the radio and heard you speaking and led to questions in that night found Jesus. So you're doing very good work.
Oh, bless you, Mark. Thank you so much for that testimony. It makes all the work worthwhile.
All right. Well, have a good day.
You as well. Before you go, let me pray for your family. Father, thank you for Mark and for how he's come out of atheism to know you as Lord and Savior. I pray now, Lord, for his family. Oh, Lord, I pray that you will bring people and circumstances to bear upon their lives so that the joy and peace that Mark has experienced, is experienced, will experience, may be theirs as well. Lord, we pray this, not vainly muttering into the air, but knowing that even now you are listening. And we pray this in the name of our precious Savior, who is the one that can bridge the divide between our unholiness and your perfection. Again, we pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Bless Mark. May he be a testimony to your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessings, Mark. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Wallace. He's listening in Orlando, Florida, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Wallace.
Hello, Hank.
Good to talk to you.
I'm actually not in Orlando. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I'm currently in Tacoma, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But I've tried to contact you on numerous occasions. My question is, in Hebrews 6:4, for it is impossible that once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift, to fall away, you can never come back. I'm having a lot of turmoil in myself in reference to that, and I'm wondering if you can give me some input.
Well, if you are fearing that you might have committed the unforgivable sin, I can tell you you have not. If you had, you wouldn't be calling me about it right now. And the unforgivable sin is the sin unto death. It is a sin by which you are continuously, on an ongoing basis, at the moment of dying, still denying Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So as long as you have breath, if you want to be a participant in the kingdom, Jesus will throw no roadblocks in your way whatsoever. He will allow you to experience his grace, his life, his truth. He can become more real to you than the very flesh upon your bones. So you have not committed the unforgivable sin. In fact, in a historical context, the unforgivable sin, where the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law, people who had seen the miraculous works of Jesus Christ and yet denied that he was the Son of God made flesh. So they were saying that what he was doing was being done by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. They were denying his glory in face of his glory. And that's not representative of what you're doing. It was for them a continuous, ongoing, willful rejection. For you, you want to be a participant of the kingdom. And as I said, the Lord is not going to throw any obstacles in your way. If you simply tell him you desire fellowship with him, that you love him, that he is Savior and Lord, he will give your life all the fulfillment that your life is designed to have.
Right. It's probably not the correct platform to try to explain all of my reasons for the way I feel. But back in my younger years, I ran away from a drug and physical, mental, sexual abuse type life as a child. And unbeknownst to me, I rejected God because I was always beaten bloody, but you know, saying spirit abroad, spoil a child type thing. But I had a very, very enlightening experience for 3 years as I'm learning, you know, I'm in the wilderness, crossing the desert. I traveled around the country for a number of years, and I believe I've personally met guardian angels, and I've had situations where people have said to me that they thought they saw a glow about me that they had never seen on anybody else before, that type of thing. I don't want to sound crazy, and to some people I might really well sound crazy.
Well, you don't sound crazy to me, and I don't mean to interrupt you because I'm coming to the station break, but remember what's important. What's important is that you want to be a participant in the kingdom. Be right back.
President Obama quoted from the Quran, "Whoever kills an innocent, it is as if he has killed all mankind, and whoever saves a person, it is as if he has saved all mankind." Now, that sounds compassionate and peaceful, but Obama simply ignored the very next verse, which mandates punishment for anyone whom Muslims do not regard as innocent. Find out how Islam and the Quran are being whitewashed by political leaders and pundits in Robert Spencer's The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. Receive either book as our thanks for your gift simply by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Abroad and at home, Islamic jihadists boldly assault innocent people on the streets, as we saw in Paris and San Bernardino. Capitals around the world brace themselves for increasing attacks by suicidal terrorists willing to blow up themselves and others in the name of Allah, while even many Christians embrace the politically correct folly that Islam is a religion of peace. As a way of addressing this spiritual warfare against the kingdom of Christ, CRI is boosting our apologist arsenal with 2 new resources by Robert Spencer, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, as well as The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. To receive either of Spencer's books as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.
That's equip.org.
Everything, well, almost everything you know about Islam and the Crusades is wrong, because most textbooks and popular history books are written by left-wing academics and Islamic apologists who justify their contemporary political agendas with contrived historical facts. Learn the truth in Robert Spencer's Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades and The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. To receive your copy of either book as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
With a reminder that you can download the Equip app, just go to equip.org/app. You can donate on the app. You can read hundreds of articles. You can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and even archived editions of the broadcast. Check it out on the web, equip.org/app. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Patrick, listening in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Patrick.
Yeah, hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I'm reading through Genesis, and I'm noticing that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all of them were lying, you know, Abraham about his wife, I think Jacob the same, or Isaac the same thing, and then Jacob lying about being the firstborn and stuff. And my question is why is God blessing these people when he hates liars and he hates deceit?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And the answer to that question is God uses broken people. He uses imperfect people. If that were not the case, he would not be using me, because I'm a broken, imperfect person. It's really always a matter of the heart. You look at Cain and Abel. Cain's disposition of the heart was constantly against the Lord. Abel's was a heart that yearned after God. Same thing with David. David was involved in horrendous sins, and yet his heart longed after God like the deer pants for the water brook. So it is a disposition of the heart. And so when we sin and we contritely confess our sins, he forgives us of our sins, and then he condescends to use us. God knew Abraham's heart better than anyone else knew Abraham's heart. And though he sinned and fell many times, he turned back to his Maker. And this is the condition of all of humanity. If you're looking for a perfect person for God to use, none exists. Only Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life that we could never live, and offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift. But if you look at the Faith Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So his perspective was always one of eternity, as opposed to having a mean earthly perspective.
Huh. Great. Thank you very much. That clears up a whole bunch for me, because I'm reading through this and I'm thinking, going, man, this doesn't make sense to me. But you made complete sense. Thank you very much.
Hey, you got it. Hey, when you get a chance, read Hebrews chapter 11. I think it'll further illumine.
I will do that.
Bless you, Patrick. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Sue in Odessa, Texas. Hi, Sue.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
I'm well, thank you.
My question is, you know, we've all
I'm being an older person, you bury the dead. But lately I've noticed a lot of people, all of a sudden I lost the word.
Cremation, maybe?
Cremation, yeah.
Okay.
And is resurrection, how does that work with cremation or donating someone's body to science? Or can you answer that for me?
Sure, yeah. Cremation is not the preferred method of biblical burial, because what resurrection is the chief issue in Christianity, and burial highlights resurrection. So when you see the body, you say that body is going to be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. It's going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So again, what's beautiful about burial is it's highlighting the resurrection of the body, whereas cremation in its Eastern worldview is escape from the body. But having said that, if someone is cremated, it doesn't mean that he or she cannot be resurrected, because resurrection does not involve the resuscitation of every single atom of the human being. It means that there's continuity between the body that was and the body that will be. That's what ultimately is the promise of resurrection. So you have a DNA that makes you you. That's a blueprint, as it were. And that blueprint becomes the blueprint for your resurrected body, and it is resurrected to complete perfection, what you would have been if sin had never entered the world.
Okay, that makes sense. I've just often wondered, I have had loved ones that's been resurrected, cremated, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't know what to believe. So that helped a lot. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You got it. And as I usually explain this, and I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, but I make three basic points, and I just follow up and on those three points because it's such an important issue. First of all, that Scripture clearly favors burial over cremation, that the Old Testament pattern was always burial except in highly unusual circumstances, and in the New Testament the same. Paul equates baptism with both burial and resurrection. Second point would be that burial symbolizes the promise of resurrection by anticipating the preservation of the body, whereas cremation better symbolizes the pagan worldview of reincarnation. And while resurrectionists look forward to the restoration of the body, reincarnationists look forward to being relieved of their body. And the third point I make is that burial highlights the sanctity of the body. In the Christian worldview, the body is significant in that it has numerical identity to the resurrected body. The body that dies is the same as the body that will be raised. And therefore, while God has no problem resurrecting the cremated, cremation does not point to the resurrection of God. So if you have a situation where cremation is necessary because of economic reasons or some other reason, make certain that you highlight the promise of resurrection, because that is the time that people are reached. They are in touch with their own mortality, and they're open to the message of the gospel. So perfect time to talk about resurrection, which is the highlight of the Christian faith. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Karen next, Nashville, Tennessee, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Could you tell me about Edgar Cayce? Was he a religious man? Why was he able to see things? I'll hang up and just listen to you.
Yeah.
I can't hang up. I guess I'll have to just listen.
Okay, sure. Yeah, he was an alleged clairvoyant, and he established the Association for Research and Enlightenment. And he did that because he wanted to promote his spiritual readings. And his teachings and practices were rooted in occult mysticism, and in that way, very antithetical to biblical Christianity. He attended church. He read the Bible. However, he was deeply into these occult mystical practices, and he purportedly fell into trances, and in those trances was able to convey information about the diagnosis and treatment of illnesses and so forth. But the claims he made were outlandish and didn't correspond to reality. So this is a classic example of the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. It had a sense of biblical Christianity, but when you dug under the skin, you'd see a pernicious lie.
Okay. I was just wondering, because I remember when I was a child, a lot of people were reading his book, like in the early 70s and stuff. So I was just wondering about him. So thank you.
You're welcome. You know, he once claimed that he actually penned the book of Acts in a previous life, and he taught that Adam was reincarnated in Melchizedek, and then Joshua, and then later Christ. And he made all kinds of unsubstantiated claims about Jesus' life, indicating that he learned about prophecy as a teenager from an Essene, that he was raised in Capernaum rather than Nazareth. He proposed that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was born of a virgin, as was Jesus, and that God has no knowledge of future events, even though he claimed to foresee the state of California would be lost in the ocean during the 70s, which obviously didn't come to pass. So he's making all kinds of false claims about Jesus Christ, about biblical Christianity, and then he makes prophecies, the prophecies don't come to pass. And there's the irony. The Bible can be trusted because the Bible is replete with prophecies. They're made and fulfilled. Thus God can say, I told you these things before they happened, so when they happen, you might believe. Or in the words of Jesus Christ, I told you now before it happened, so that when it does happen, you will believe. The point being that you can trust biblical revelations, but the Edgar Cayces of the world would make prophecies, and those prophecies were not fulfilled, demonstrating that they were false prophets. And this is the trap that so many people fall in today. They have this sense that they can fulfill the future or predict what's going to happen in the future. And the truth of the matter is, God does not tell us what is going to happen in the future. He has told us things that would happen in the future so that we might believe, but he's not telling us what is going to happen in the future. We have a book that we can now trust, a book by which we can test all things, hold fast to that which is good. And that's what we place our trust in, not the Edgar Cayces of the world. And there are many like him, and they have one thing in common. It's a cliche, but it's true. They're 100% wrong, 100% of the time. They can't be trusted. When I come back from the break, I want to talk about cults a little bit as well, because this is one of the pernicious problems of our age. People who distort the truth, and they not only blur, but they obliterate the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Coming to station break, be back on the other side of the break. Look forward to more interaction. Do remember, your questions answered not only on the show, but you can go to equip.org and get your questions answered. Also, the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, it is available for your gift. And for those who join the monthly CRI support team, I'll personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Check it out, equip.org/donate. Be right back.
Islamic jihadists boldly attack innocent people on the street. This is just one sign of the eroding Judeo-Christian worldview and values that once dominated the West. We are in a fight for our lives, not against flesh and blood, but spiritual warfare. For this reason, CRI is boosting our apologist arsenal with two new resources, the Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, and the Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran by Robert Spencer. To receive either one of these books as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned.
Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after the break.
The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Bet your teachers never told you. Muhammad did not teach peace and tolerance, but led armies and ordered the assassination of his enemies. The Crusades were not acts of unprovoked aggression by Europe against the Islamic world, but a delayed response to centuries of Muslim aggression. And what is known today as the Islamic world was created by a series of brutal conquests of non-Muslim lands. That's why the Christian Research Institute has added to its apologist arsenal two timely and thoroughly researched books on Islam by Robert Spencer. To receive your copy of The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Because the challenges of a rapidly spreading radical Islam will confront us for years to come, remaining ignorant about Islam cannot be an option for thinking Christians. That's why CRI has added to its apologist arsenal two timely and provocative books on Islam by Robert Spencer. To receive your copy of The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast in our outreaches around the world. Fairly new, it's only been out for a month or so, and the book is a legacy for me. It's something that I said to my kids not long ago, long after I'm gone, this book will still be here. I'm not trying to be morbid, but this is a legacy to my work in ministry and available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can access your copy on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. and the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jerome, listening on in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Hi, Jerome.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
I have a question about Chuck Missler and his ministry, and I don't know if you have any comment without me necessarily asking anything specific about him.
Yeah, I don't think he's a reliable teacher, and I think that he can be extraordinarily divisive. For example, if you deny, in his view, the distinction between Israel and the church, he calls you the synagogue of Satan described in Revelation chapter 2. Well, for most of church history, people have believed that God has only had one chosen people, one covenant community, beautifully connected by the cross and illustrated by the Apostle Paul by a cultivated olive tree. So the idea that God has two distinct people as opposed to one chosen people may be something that we can debate vigorously, but it's not something that we have to divide over. He says it is something you have to divide over because, obviously, if you're the synagogue of Satan, you cannot be on a lower footing in terms of God's love or grace. You are outside of that. Jesus Christ himself was using that term, synagogue of Satan, to describe people who say they are Jews but are really not Jews at all.
Okay, and also, I saw something on the internet the other day, which I don't like to put too much emphasis on, but they were saying that he had on his board people like Sun Moon or a guy, a prophecy guy in California whose wife is Pat, and also that he was being criticized for not calling out names. Do you have anything about that?
Well, I can say that what you just said is a great example of how internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to get its boots on. I don't know who is on Chuck Missler's board, but I can be pretty certain that he doesn't have the first person that you mentioned on his board. So this is simply nonsense. When I talk about what my misgivings are, I'm not making stuff up. And unfortunately, people do make things up, and it's deplorable when they do.
And one of the things he had in some of his series was that the giants were crossbreeds between the demons and people.
He believes that demons are not fallen angels, but a different kind of being altogether. So he reasons that fallen angels were able to manifest physical bodies that were capable of producing offspring through sexual relations with women. But demons are unable to manifest physical bodies. They have to possess a human or an animal to manifest in the world. So that's how he explains this whole idea of what happened in Genesis chapter 6. But I think this is, again, sensationalistic, and it's dead wrong. No biblical basis for his claims in that regard.
Okay, well, I appreciate your input on that, Hank. Thanks so much. I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ryan next, listening in Clearwater, Kansas, on Bot Radio. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
Thanks. Hey, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, which appears to be not really referring to himself in third person, but more the relationship between the human nature of him and the divine nature of him. It says in Matthew 24:37, it references him returning. Is there any indication if that'll be basically, will Jesus show up in the flesh again? And is there any indication of who that might be?
Well, first of all, Matthew 24 is Jesus, and he is talking about coming, but he's not talking about his second coming. He's talking about coming in judgment on those who are going to eventually cry, crucify him, his blood be on us and our children. So Jesus here is talking about his coming on in judgment. Israel has been called to be a light to the nations, but has simply rejected the light in its midst. And so Jesus Christ is talking about his coming on clouds. Jerusalem's going to be judged. The temple's going to be destroyed. And that's what's in view in Matthew chapter 24. He also points out that this is going to happen within a generation. So it's a prophecy that he made and a prophecy that he fulfilled.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'm still a little confused as far as how Jesus will return exactly. But
well, when Jesus returns a second time, it isn't as though he has left and he's been traveling at the speed of light and he's not out of our little universe yet. When we talk about Jesus ascending into heaven, it is talking about the God-man transcending time and space. So he's as close to you as the very skin upon your bones. There's a veil that separates the habitation of God from the habitation of humanity. When Jesus appears a second time, that veil is removed. That's his second appearing. That's what Hebrews talks about when Hebrews says that Jesus Christ will appear again a second time, and that's what we look forward to and long for.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thank you for your call. By the way, the context of Matthew 24, Jesus left the temple. He's walking away. His disciples come up to him, call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things, says Jesus? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one is going to be thrown down. And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and they said, when will this happen? What's going to be the sign of your coming? In other words, your coming in judgment on the temple in Jerusalem. What is going to be the sign of the end of the age? The end of the age, a sacrifice. They don't have in view here the end of the world. Jesus has just told them that the temple is going to be destroyed, and they're wondering, when is this going to happen? This is the center for them, the center of their spiritual and their sociological identity. It's going to be destroyed. And so Jesus now explains to them what is going to happen, and that it's going to happen within a generation. He's not speaking specifically about his second coming. He's talking about his coming on clouds. And that coming on clouds language is very familiar to the biblical reader. Why? Because it is used throughout the Old Testament. God comes on clouds. It's a judgment metaphor, and that's what's going on in the Olivet Discourse. Have to always read Scripture in light of Scripture. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Gary in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on KSIV. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for your program.
It's my pleasure.
Very informative.
Thank you.
My question is, I know he's passed away, but Norman Vincent Paley, what's your thoughts on his teachings? And I read a couple of his books, I guess, The Power of Positive Thinking.
Yeah, Norman Vincent Peale, was part of the human potential movement. And so his books reflect that. Guideposts, his magazine, reflected that. Although there were good articles in Guideposts. But as a whole, he was communicating a human potential dynamic as opposed to a biblical worldview. And his teachings are at times incompatible with the very plain and main things of Scripture. He denied the biblical teaching that those who die without Christ are going to be eternally punished, and many other such things. In fact, in terms of his philosophy, he wrote that there is no disease from which prayer cannot bring deliverance. One reason disease devastates us is because we accept it as inevitable. I believe in the power of Jesus Christ to resolve any difficulty, to remove any weakness, to heal any disease. Well, certainly I would say Jesus can heal diseases and does heal diseases. But the reality is the power of human potential cannot remove disease from this time-space continuum. In this world, we are going to suffer the ravages of sin. And the death rate is always going to be one per person. Everyone's going to make it, as did Norman Vincent Peale. He also, by a very crude inference with the laws of divine abundance, he said that poverty was defeated and that you could have health and wealth in this world, unlimited. You just have to have the right formula. You have to have the positive feeling and the positive expression. But the reality is, there are a lot of people in biblical times that we find in the Faith Hall of Fame who suffered incredible woes. But yet they looked forward not to a world without woe, but a world that is to come in which there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So Norman Vincent Peale was delightful in many different ways, but he taught a human potential gospel that is very different from the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you, Hank.
You got it. My pleasure. Thanks so much for your call. And remember, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. The Bible Answer Man broadcast our outreaches around the world. You can get your copy in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants also standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. We have my appreciation for those that stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. What you're doing really does make a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly, to make a gift that can transform lives, and as our thanks, receive Robert Spencer's The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran, or The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, simply by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Abroad and at home, Islamic jihadists boldly assault innocent people on the streets, as we saw in Paris and San Bernardino. Capitals around the world brace themselves for increasing attacks by suicidal terrorists willing to blow up themselves and others in the name of Allah, while even many Christians embrace the politically correct folly that Islam is a religion of peace. As a way of addressing this spiritual warfare against the kingdom of Christ, CRI is boosting our apologist arsenal with two new resources by Robert Spencer, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, as well as The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran.
To receive either of Spencer's books as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.